We good? Good morning.
Okay, go ahead.
All right. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for being here. And Jamie, we're going to start with the roll, please.
Yes. Okay. Commissioner Briceño?
Here.
Commissioner Buck? Let's see. Commissioner Duran?
Here.
Commissioner Faruqi?
Here.
Commissioner Kent? Commissioner Leach?
Here.
Commissioner Lee?
Here.
Commissioner Matsuba?
Here.
Commissioner O'Neill? Commissioner Steinberg? And Commissioner Wang?
Present.
Okay, we do have a quorum.
Okay, great. All right, can we start with the first item up? Yes.
Item number two is opening quote reflection.
Okay, so that would be me. I was, good thing I checked the agenda yesterday to see what I thought.
That's why they sent it out.
I was thinking that my turn is coming up soon. So I was I did some reflection on what I wanted to say, and I came across, I work in HR, so there's a lot of sayings that's probably not appropriate for this group. So I was kind of thinking, and I came across this and I wanted to read it. Motivational quotes often feel like our own opinions making a return visit, just augmented by someone else with writing talents. And the right quote at the right time can change things. Words matter, and motivating phrases can encourage us to get up, overcome tough times, take action, and do the hard work that needs doing. Even genuinely successful people show some reverence to a favorite inspirational quote or two to get through the hard times. Remember important personal principles, or even get some inspiration to be more productive while working from home. In business and life, quotes are short bits of wit and wisdom that are easy to revisit when we need them. That said, my thought for today is people often say that motivation doesn't last. Well, neither does bathing. That's why we recommend it on a daily basis. So my reflection for today is consistency. We need to motivate and keep on living our life on a daily basis. That's it.
Thank you, Janie. That's beautiful. I like it. And we will continue to motivate ourselves and each other every day. Okay, Jamie.
Okay, and just to let you know, Commissioner Buck has joined us now. Okay. So item number three is monthly summary of commission activities.
Okay.
That is Commissioner O'Neill, who is not here.
Oh, she's not here this morning.
No.
Norma, would you like to say anything to that? Good morning.
Good morning. Can everybody hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Great. Sure. I can give a high-level update here. So we have started our new fiscal years, which is why you'll see zeros, a lot of zeros in the to date. But there's been a lot of movement around our Hate Happens, our Hate Hurts Us All campaign. So we've had several interviews, media interviews, from Spanish-speaking newspapers to local newspapers. We were also part of a town hall that happened on July 15th at Soka University, and we did have several of commissioners who were also present, and that was a really great event. We were given an opportunity to talk about Hate Hurts Us All and invite folks to our website and our new reporting form. Additionally, we held different dialogues around the Who We Are film that you can now watch on Netflix if you do have Netflix. It was something that was hosted by UCI, and we were able to help facilitate some of the dialogues around that. And lastly, you can look at page 6 of your packet, which is the monthly review, July, for our bias-motivated hate activity for the month. And what you're looking at now, excuse me, what you're looking at now are actual reports that are coming from our new database with 211. So we had a total of 17 total hate motivated events. And then seven of them were hate crimes and five of them were hate incidents. And five, they're still a little bit unknown, but were reported and we're still working through those. So this is just a representation of having a new ways and different ways for folks to report has helped in the reporting aspect for the community. And that is all, unless there's questions or if anybody needs verification. Yes, Commissioner Leach.
Good morning, all. Thank you for this report, Norma. I wonder if you could just shed a little bit more light for us on two items pertaining to that sheet. I mean, obviously the jump to 17 seems kind of strange after so many things, the number being something like six or seven type of thing, but I understand why the jump. But can you shed a little bit of light why there might be what appears to be an increase in for Asian Americans? And also, what exactly would unknown include?
So I don't have the specific of the cases, so I wouldn't be able to share specifics around the number of or the increase around Asian American community being targeted. The only thing that continues to be a thread since we've seen a huge jump around bias motivated hate against the Asian American community is COVID. COVID is still around and a lot of the cases are still COVID related. If you want more specifics, we can always pull that. In terms of the unknowns, so something we found with our new database is as it's accessible to many, and not only that, but we're offering folks confidentiality. Many folks are going in and reporting, but then they're not fully giving us whole stories, or they're not checking off, you know, all the boxes that are necessary. So we might have the type of offense, but we might not have who was targeted, or we might have who was targeted, but we might not have a location. So all of that, when we start looking at it and cleaning it up, we are trying to kind of hold that attention and figure it out. So how do we make sure that the numbers are represented and shared, but we're not skewing or that we're not misinforming, which is why now we're having to notify and note. We have five reports that are still unknown because we don't have full information around these, which is something that you will see that we're right now navigating with our hate crime reports. So having expanded our ability to have people report and improve that process has now given us this new thing that we need to navigate.
Gotcha. Thank you for that clarification. I appreciate it.
No problem. If there are no other questions, then that's all right. The monthly report.
Thank you so much, Norma. And it's just, as you said, the hate hurts us all is really taking off. And we're seeing signs of that going in the right direction, and really appreciate the work that's being done for that. And next item.
Next item is open forum. If anybody wishes to speak, they can hit *9 or the hand raise icon on the Zoom app. And there are actually no attendees, so we do not have any requests to speak.
All right, moving to the next, please.
Item number four is review and reconsider state of emergency under AB 361 and make findings to continue virtual meetings due to the proclaimed state of emergency arising from COVID-19 as required by Government Code subsection 54959E3.
Okay, and we are, we'll be a month out. I mean, we can actually vote on this today. Okay. Any comments about that?
So do we make a motion for that? Or how does that, or is this a motion? Jamie?
Yeah, somebody needs to make a motion if they wish to consider continue to meet virtually, or if somebody wants to make a different motion. Or
somebody wants to make a different,
right. Not meet virtually.
Any comments on it?
Okay, then I make a motion to continue to have during the state of emergency that we continue to meet virtually until further notice. Or does it have to be on a monthly basis?
And we still have to do a monthly basis.
For the yes. For the month of September, I guess then.
That's I'll my second that.
Okay.
Thank you.
I can do the roll call. Please. Okay, Commissioner Briceño.
Yes.
Commissioner Buck?
Yes.
Commissioner Duran?
Yes.
Commissioner Faruqi?
Yes.
Commissioner Kent?
Yes.
Commissioner Leach?
Yes.
Commissioner Lee?
Yes.
Commissioner Matsuba?
Yes.
Commissioner O'Neill?
Yes.
Commissioner Steinberg? And Commissioner Wang?
Yes.
Okay, it passes unanimously.
All right, thank you. All right, our next item.
Item number five is Commission Staff Reports, update on Hate Hurts Us All campaign and 2021 Hate Crimes Report release event.
Yes, that would be me again. I actually did share a lot about the Hate Hurts Us All campaign during the monthly summary. So as I mentioned, we have been getting a lot of hits from the media and requests for interviews. So I've done a couple, Leonel has also done a couple. And as we kind of build momentum, our marketing firm is putting together a plan to really enhance and increase our media buys from here until September to kind of build some momentum for our release of our 2021 Hate Crimes Report. So currently we're hoping to get the flyers out soon, but we have set the event or webinar for September 15th from 10 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. Again, it will be a webinar. So we will be sharing the data trends for 2021. And then we're hoping that we'll be able to have subject matter experts speak about, you know, what is a hate crime, what is a hate incident based on the areas that they work in, what is the process of taking, you know, or documenting a hate incident, a hate crime, and then how can people report, what do they do, where do they go? So those are just some ideas of around the event. And as I mentioned, we're waiting to hear back about our flyer, and that should be going out soon to everybody. So we hope that you all can not only register, but also share with your networks and spread the word.
Great. Cool. All right. Thank you, Norma. Anyone? Any comments? Okay, moving on.
Okay, item number six, update from OC Chiefs and Sheriff.
Good morning, everybody. No updates on my part.
Oh, okay. Short and sweet, okay. All right, thank you, next.
Item seven is OCSD Interfaith Council update.
Okay, and that would be Commissioner Steinberg. So we will move on to the next.
Okay. Last is announcements from commissioners.
All right. Commissioner Leach.
I feel like I'm hogging the commissioner comments today. Forgive me. Yesterday, I had the privilege of sitting in on a joint FBI Department of Homeland Security community partner call. I reached out to several of you. Honestly, don't know if you were on the line or not. Fareed said he was unable to make it. But it was pertaining to, it was a national and Canada was included as well, a call pertaining to the recent killings of four Muslim men in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And this was part of the homicide assistance. And it reached out to both community and faith-based organizations to update people on this ongoing investigation. And part of what was told to us was that the partnerships were so intricate in being able to trace down the alleged perpetrator and killer, and that had it not been for those partnerships of law enforcement, faith-based organizations, civic organizations, this could have gone on a lot longer and perhaps even resulted in more damage and more killings. So it just brought to mind for me what we have had a brush with here in Orange County. Certainly with the shooting at the Geneva Presbyterian Church, but also some of you are aware that there I was able to help the OC Intelligence Assessment Center, which is connected with both the local law enforcement as well as Department of Homeland Security. The faith-based officer, Kathleen Koyman, reached out to me and has reached out to me several times to help with this because of the networking I do with so many interfaith groups across the county. But there is an ongoing investigation of the young man who was posing a threat to the Muslim community here in Orange County, beginning in July, I believe. And so there was an alert that went out, and we were able to follow up with different individuals and different congregations to just say, please be aware of what is going on. So I have been asked to co-partner with them on some of this, and I hope that I'm able to reach out to some of you as well, just for any information you may or may not have. And then one last thing, I am working once again this year on a film to memorialize all who have died during the year homeless here in Orange County. And just to let you know, because we are about human relations and it's not always about distinct hate crimes, but it is about the relations, human relations of people that exist and live in our communities. As of this morning, the July report on how many deaths there were, and in July there were 51, which at this halfway point in our year brings the total to 287 deaths. With that, the projection is that by the end of the year, there will be at least 500 deaths of people who died on our streets here in Orange County. So that is my report. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Dot. And that's kind of sobering hearing those numbers of those who've passed on the street. But thank you again for the you know, updating us on that and for doing the planning to do the film. Also, it was very disturbing to hear about the four Muslim men who were killed in New Mexico. And it's important as a commission that we respond or react or make some type of a statement, or I'm kind of would like to open it up to everyone and see how everyone feels about it. But I think, you know, I just feel that we should do something. Oh, I see your hand, Fareed. Excuse me, Fareed, I see your hand.
Yep, thank you, Madam Chair. Yep, appreciated Commissioner Dock for sharing that and being at that FBI briefing yesterday. It is very sad. It's disturbing to see any killing of any human life senselessly. And unfortunately, we see a lot more of that happening in different spaces across the nation. This particular one that took place in New Mexico, obviously still under investigation, different reports coming out. Initially, it seemed like, and it still could be, a motivation, whether individual-based or because of faith in terms of the sect, the Shia sect. We are all one. We are not different. But you know, there are people who would like to see you divided and use that for political gain or whatever that may be anywhere across. So that said, I think for us as a commission, we want to make sure that there's a sanctity of life. But in terms of protecting people, even before getting there, I mean, Commissioner Dodges shared things that happened in Orange County, you know, very recently, whether it was a hate crime in Huntington Beach or somewhere else, different things that are going on this summer. So while we do have a process on how to combat law enforcement and all that, but as a commission, this is an ongoing issue. It's not that something happens and then we stop and then we come back again, another thing happens. So my thing would be, first of all, a heart goes out to the victims and their families that lost their loved ones back in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And for the healing to happen, you cannot bring back those that have left, but it definitely needs healing. Hopefully the law and the investigation brings out the complete. I was just reading that it had something to do with one of the persons marrying the daughter of the killer himself. Yeah, so it makes no sense, but why would you kill four people? Yeah, if it is one, why would you kill the other two or three or whatever, right? So there's other motivations here, perhaps. We do not know what it is. That said, you know, these things can pour over into other communities across the country. You know, you'll find someone else feeling the same way tomorrow on something else. It could be against a Muslim, it could be against a Shia or a Jew or a person from, and we see that happening in different communities, people of color and everything else. So what I would suggest that we do as a commission is first kind of set up a committee, right? We always have to work through ad hoc committees. That might be the best way to do this, to look at near term and long term, just like what we did and with the help of the County Board of Supervisors, and we set up a complete thing, data tracking and engagement and all that. It serves a certain purpose, gets us information and response abilities and all that. A statement always is good, but I think that the larger thing is how do we integrate and use this partnerships of different faith communities, things that Commissioner Alicia just mentioned, faith-based entities, civic organizations and others, right? Something that is more meaningful, educational, as well as engagement. Because you don't want to have another vandalism or somebody going in to a synagogue or somewhere else, you know, into the mosque. I mean, this happened in July, maybe in May. Was it June, Commissioner Dodd, that happened? Where this guy went up on this roof of the mosque school premises.
It was July 4th. He was arrested, I believe, that day. He had climbed up on the roof of the Montessori school next to the mosque in Garden Grove. Right. But he had also been contacting some of the the congregants there and asking them some very peculiar questions.
Sure. So I think we are vigilant. I think more is always needed. But what I'm suggesting here, if we can come up with a framework or some methodology of how can we have some series of conversations, engagement, so that one, you know, we need to be visible. And I say we, I'm talking not just about Norma and her team, but we as commissioners need to be visible. Now, I know there's a Brown Act and we all cannot congregate in one place, right? But there's ways to do these things. You know, either representing on an individual basis or at least to, and you're still not violating, you know, in terms of the Brown Act, right? So that said, my suggestion is that we put something together as an ad hoc committee to not only look at this particular incident, but in the totality, what can we do next time, God forbid, something should happen and it continues to, whether it's a hate crime or in this case, which is very violent.
I would just like to mention, I had a patient this morning who lives close to a shooting that took place yesterday. That was, someone had barricaded themselves into a building and the perpetrator shot a police officer in the face. He is in critical condition. And so I think, you know, when we look at hate and how it is so rampant across all facets, it doesn't stay within a racial group. It is, I think today police officers are at such huge risk for anger and this kind of abuse too. And I would like us to also, as we think about the Muslims that were shot, the ones Dot's talking about, that we also hold this family in our thoughts today too, that he makes it through, and to be aware that we need to educate across the board. We have to educate people that police officers are not our enemy, that yes, there has been bad incidences on everyone's account, but you know, random killing of police officers is so common. And I don't think people have any idea just how common that is. And that is something I think we should also look into to see just how common it is.
May I offer up a suggestion, and I don't think it's either or, in Commissioner O'Neill, and I don't think you're trying to say it that way. I think what you're saying is we have a broad base to give our attention to, but I am wondering if we might invite Chaplain Kathleen Coyman, who is connected, as Commissioner Kent will, I'm sure, verify. She is part of the Sheriff's Department senior chaplain, but she is also with this Intelligence Assessment Center for the Department of Homeland Security. And they have got information that I have sat in on two of their presentations, and the type of cases that they have received. Some of them have been made public, but we may have missed them. You know, there gets to be so many things in the newspaper or whatever. But I'm wondering if we might invite her to be a guest speaker here for us to start kind of a road down educating ourselves, as Commissioner Faruqi has just said. And I just feel like she would be a good first step in acquainting us with some of the things broad-based, whether it is occurring in a cultural community, mm-hmm. a faith community, a law enforcement community. Mm-hmm. She has the sensitivity as well as the facts and numbers at her fingertips.
No, I like that idea. I think the more we educate across the board, the only wiser and more understanding that we will have as commissioners to really bring to the forefront issues that we may not really know the full depth of them. And I think that education is, you know, just a fantastic tool. And I like that idea very much. I wonder if Michael has any knowledge of the shooting that I'm talking about from yesterday.
Yeah, is it? I'm guessing you're talking. Sorry, my video cut out and I had to come back on. But I'm guessing you're talking about the one in Monterey Park, Downey, that area. So that based on the information that we have, we don't believe you, the person was targeted because he was a police officer. He was just off duty and happened to be just a victim of a crime, and he was trying to get away, and the person ended up shooting him as he was driving away, and unfortunately took his life. But just to go back and talk about a little bit about law enforcement and, you know, how law enforcement has been targeted. I will tell you, in the course of the last few years, I have definitely seen a significant increase of resistance towards the police and people that want to fight the police. I started 20 years ago, and you know, it was rare. It was rare where you would get a lot of resistance for people that would want to actually physically get in an altercation with you. But now it's so common. A lot more police officers are being challenged, you know, both, you know, verbally and physically. So we have seen that. We have had a few folks get injured, you know, thankfully nothing serious, you know, but I think it goes back to training. You know, our training is really important. For me, there's no better way to invest in your officers than provide them training and how to de-escalate situations. And it's not necessarily a physical tool. The best tool is communication, and how can you communicate with somebody to lower things. Because I think, you know, we all recognize there's a lot of tension right now out there, and just in our country and everything that's happening. Some of it's politics, others personal beliefs, or, you know, that could be, you know, led from politics or whatever it may be. And I think you're starting to see a lot of that develop into frustration and anger, and it's happening in streets and schools and playgrounds, at a soccer game, at a this, at a that, whatever it may be. And of course now we get pulled into that as the peacekeepers, right? To try to just like keep the peace, maintain the peace, and tell everybody, you know, to just kind of move on. But there are people that challenge us. And I think that's where it's important for us, again, to continue investing in our police officers. And we're fortunate enough, I'm fortunate enough to be part of a city that has that funding that can continually invest in police training. Other cities are not as fortunate. I'm not necessarily talking about here in Orange County, but maybe other parts of the state or the country. And you see the results. You see what happens when you're not putting your time and effort into training police officers. You know, sometimes they make bad decisions, and that those bad decisions can lead into, you know, someone getting hurt or potentially killed. So I think it's important, based on and everything that's happening today in these days within the country, that we continue. A lot of people look to us as the problem solvers, you know, but we got to be able to react and adjust and to act based on our training, because that's what we always fall back to. So I think there's definitely value of talking about this more. I mean, these are 40-hour classes that we provide in leadership and supervisory type of training and classes, and how to deal with that and having these difficult conversations. But going back to something that you said as well, is the education. I think education is of the utmost importance. And again, I'm going to be a little bit biased here, but I'm going to brag about our department a little bit. But 94% of our officers have a bachelor's degree. About 30% of our officers have a master's degree. Some have double masters. Some have JDs. And I think you truly see the quality of the police officer based on their life experience and their education when they come in. You know, you take good people and you teach them and you train them how to become police officers. That should be the model that's used across the board. You know, unfortunately, because of maybe it's finance, maybe it's other things, or, you know, logistical issues, not all departments can do that, you know. But for us, you know, I think when I talk to a police officer that's coming from a different department that wants to work in Irvine, or a recruit that's graduating the academy and wants to work for us, part of my conversation is remember that every single contact with a member of the public matters, because that's an opportunity for us to make a difference. It's an opportunity for us to be able to show them the human side of police work, that, you know, there's definitely the ugly side that comes with what we do, just because of the nature of the job. But that's such a small percentage of what we do, of what we handle. Majority of what we do is we help people. We're truly there to serve. So I could go on and on about this, so I don't want to take everybody's time. But yes, I would be totally in support of having further discussions and conversations about things like this.
Thank you, Mike. I really appreciate that. And I think that we care about life. I don't think we're, you know, separating out life and human rights and behavior towards another person is so important, no matter who you are or what your race or profession is. But I really appreciate that. Thank you.
If we could go back to what Fareed was suggesting.
Yeah, thank you.
We feel that with the Hate Hurts Us All campaign, we are going to be doing this type of work. I mean, I don't know if we need to separate it out. I think we should be incorporating it in.
Of course.
But I mean, it's very important for us to have these discussions and come up with something to do, I guess is what you're saying.
Yeah, sure. May allow me.
Sure, please.
I just want to add to what you're probably thinking of as well. Perhaps Norma can give us a little bit more context in terms of how, the team is doing things on different fronts. How can we be part of that? Do we need to set up even a separate committee to come up with another operative for how to do these things? Or do we work with the existing the capacity and framework and engagement? And that's where I am not clear in my own mind on these issues. So perhaps Norma can say, no, we are already doing this. We still need committee participation as a committee, because all of us cannot just jump in and go and do some work, because that's not what we do, right? But if you have to work in that space and do something outreach, facilitating, just like Commissioner Dottrich mentioned about the chaplain that can come and speak to us, or we can facilitate the faith-based leaders as these things are happening every quarter, or every 2 months or something like that. We have a get together, right? We see what's going on, what are the issues, how can we tackle them, right? What is the training? What additional training or education or information that is needed, whether it's law enforcement, like your Commissioner Michael Kent mentioned, the chief, or it could be in this education space, in schools K through 12 or whatever. Perhaps you are doing pieces of that, but I'm just saying for us as leaders and people as commissioners sitting, we take this, we come to these meetings, we listen and we go away. And that's the end of the story, right? Maybe a couple of commissioners may be more active and out there, but for most part, nobody really understands what is the function of a commissioner sitting on this board anyways, right? So this gives an opportunity, whether it is in Orange County, whether it's in Buena Park, in different parts of the thing, district, there could be these pockets where we go in and work with and have these conversations, rotate them, whatever that may be. But I want to hear perhaps from Norma, if she has any thoughts on how it is already being done. We just don't want to duplicate. We don't want to get in the way of something that's already taking place.
Thank you, Commissioner Farooqui. So there's a couple of different things that I'm thinking about, because the commission is now operating under a new set of bylaws And in that, in those bylaws, there's already two standing committees that were created, the executive committee and then the communications committee. So I'm wondering if one of those is able to take the concept around, you know, what's the further engagement for commissioners, especially in instances like you mentioned with the Albuquerque situation, even our locally what happened in Laguna Woods. I wonder if instead of creating another subcommittee or an ad hoc, that one of these can take and break that apart, right? And to be able to really unpack what that would look like. And I definitely believe that the commission needs to leverage the Hate Hurts Us All. Now, there's very specific deliverables under that contract for OCU Human Relations Council, and my staff have to go out and do. They're very specific, but what I hear you say, Commissioner Faruqi, is what's the high level response that's going to lead to some type of change that's going to really open those conversations. So I want to say that bringing that to the committees that already exist is going to really keep that at the forefront. Because in creating the ad hoc, it's short-lived, right? You create the ad hoc, and then move on. But I think that adding this to the role in one of the committees, you keep the sustainability piece, right? It's going to be a prerogative, and it's going to be a focus for the commission.
I agree. Thank you, Norma, for bringing that. And on that, if I may have a follow-up, Madam Chair. Yeah, it's if you have these two standing committees, which we do now, I don't know if they've already been installed. Obviously, you're the chairperson, and we have a vice chair and all that. That is probably the executive committee, I would think. I don't know who else is in it. And the communications committee, have we installed anybody in there or who is part of it? And if not, can we do that now, or do we have a resolution or something else that needs to be done, because we are starting a new fiscal year, if you will.
So if I may, for the executive committee, it's the current, the chairperson of the commission, the vice chairperson, and the immediate past chairperson. So that's the makeup based on the bylaws, that's the makeup of the executive. For the communications, gosh, I'm trying to remember. I don't know that there was appointments made for that, or I need to check my notes here.
I don't recall anybody being heading or nominated.
I don't remember. I'm trying to remember if there was a, you know, volunteers or voluntolds for that. I don't think there was. I think there was a, yeah, I don't know that there was an official.
So I don't know if Renee is here today to guide us along, but is this something that we do amongst ourselves and appoint?
Well, that's within the commission chair's ability. She's able to.
It's not the authority that.
Yeah. So that doesn't need to, if I'm not mistaken, Jamie, that doesn't need to go for a vote, right?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. They do?
I don't know. I know she can do ad hoc committees on her own doing anything. Sorry, I'm looking at the bylaws real quick to refresh my memory about the standing committees.
I'm trying to look at it.
It says that their term of the standing committees is 1 year. The chairperson may reappoint committee members for additional terms. I know that ad hoc can be established by the chair, and ad hoc can be established by the chair.
It also says chairperson shall establish committees and coordinate the appointments of members, except the executive committee, Article 5.
Yeah, and I know you did state the executive committee is already set up as far as who is on it.
Hi, Jamie, it's Jenna. I can clarify. Norma is right. Article 5 states that the chairperson shall establish the committees. Therefore, the chairperson can appoint to the communications committee. I would suggest, though, it be an action item or at least listed on the agenda. So, members who are interested in being a part of the communications committee have the opportunity to do so. Not necessarily an action, because the chairperson does coordinate it and establish the committee. But my suggestion would be to have it on the agenda.
Yeah, it's probably a good idea. We can continue this discussion within an actual agendized item.
Okay, so can I then suggest, or do I work this through Norma for our next meeting, that we do have this on the agenda to
discuss? I'll put it on the agenda. Yeah, we'll make sure it's there.
Yeah, both the executive committee and the communications committee, so that Chairwoman Joanne can direct us or reach out to who wants to be on what. I'm already thinking of a candidate who is more deserving to be on the communications, but I guess you can figure that out, right? I don't want to say anything, but influence others. But yeah, I think this will be important. Thank you.
And for clarification, are we saying that, and I'm going to use communications as the example, that if we're looking to do an education project as a commission, or are seeking more education, that would be a subcommittee of the communications committee, or does it become an ad hoc along with perhaps, and I'm throwing this out, someone responsible for the letters that go out when our unity statements or any type of community outreach? Is that how that would be anticipated being falling under the main banner of communications?
I'm not sure, Jenna. The way that I envision this would be that there isn't anything in the bylaws that gives specificity around what the role of the communications committee is. It's an opportunity for those members who are part of the committee to set up a framework. And I feel that there will be some tasks that might be short-lived, and there would be a subcommittee or ad hoc that falls under that, and say, you're setting the protocols for this, and then that's that. But that there will be longer term projects that need a little bit more time, or that will be last a little bit longer, that might have just to stay within the umbrella of the committee. All I'm saying is there isn't an outline. I know that there was intention and some ideas on what this committee would take on. But I feel that that's a conversation that this commission can have around what the workload looks like and what that framework looks like.
Okay, thank you for that clarification.
Okay. Are you feeling good about that, Fareed, for now?
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I believe so. I think this gives us room within the communications committee to set up. I think I've not read that bylaw change. I'm going to do that over the weekend. But if it doesn't specify that we need to A, B, and C, or it limits on what we can do, we need to first find that out. And then to what Commissioner Dodd has just mentioned, you know, can we say, okay, we want to do three things within this committee: do outreach and education, put out letters or communication as and when required, and the third thing could be something else. If these are the only three things that we need to do within that committee, then you appoint subcommittees or assign people within the committee who lead that effort with a chair that is responsible to overall manage. This is all I'm thinking about the structure and the utilization of the standing committee, right? So if that is the intent, and that's how it works mechanically, then great. I think we don't need to go set up more ad hocs and more committees. We already have a platform to work through.
Right.
Right?
Yes.
I will send out a clean copy of the updated bylaws to everybody after the meeting, so you have those great handy.
Comment. Additionally, they're listed on the commission website.
All right. Yes.
Great.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Okay. Anyone else? I think I can officially say we're adjourned.
Yes.
All right, thank you. Bye, everyone. I'm getting ready to hop on a plane.
Okay, have a safe trip. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, bye-bye.